For a Sunday morning, we appreciate you being here. And just so I don't forget, there is a basket in where? Oh, up here. Okay. There will be a basket up here if you'd like to bless them and just tell them thank you. And thank you so much for being here. And kids, I knew I was forgetting. So looking at the kids. You ready to roll? Kimberly, you ready for them? Now, Joey, are you trying to cut out the people over there? I mean, do I got to teach you everything? And oh, look, and the remote broke. It's like Joey squared, you know what I'm saying? When I was little, I was Joey, but I moved up, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm Joseph, or better yet to him, Dr. Joe. So anyway, not to y'all, just to him. So got to keep things straight around here, so I'm just kidding. Well, so glad to have you here today and looking forward to bringing the word. I hope you know that when I come to you, it's already after weeks of God speaking to my heart about the things that I'm going to present to you. And so know that I've worked through some of this in my own heart and my own life, and I hope today that God will continue to work on you. I think it's important when we preach the words of Jesus, there is no getting around it. And so if you want to get around it today, go out with the kids. How's that sound? They could use your help, so I'm just kidding. But what I want to encourage you today is that these are words that Jesus spoke. These are words that he communicated. These are words that were important enough that he spoke them to his disciples, to the people there to hear. And so today we're going to look at another concern that Jesus had, and that was of the eyes. And so if you'll turn to your scriptures in Matthew chapter 6, we'll be in verses 22 through 24. And once you have that, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word this morning. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Church, think about this. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Heavenly Father God, we come before you today. And as we put these two thoughts together, I would ask today, God, that you would speak to our hearts. God, we've been reminded through worship of what a great and merciful God we serve. And today, Lord, we would ask that you would come and speak, that you would enlighten. We ask today that you would bind the hands of Satan in the name of Jesus from this place. And we pray today, God, that we would experience your holiness, your fullness, your righteousness, and that you would come and speak to us. God, I would just ask right now that whatever the distraction is, whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else, God, that you would just remove those from our hearts, remove those from our minds, remove them from our eyes so that we can see you fully today. And God, we just pray that you would come in fullness, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, so let's go through a couple of things. I want you to understand that when Jesus spoke these words, and you've got to get this first so you get kind of where he's going with this. You know, this happens every week. What in the world? Maybe it's the, oh. Sorry, y'all. Say it again. I know I'm trying, but that won't go down. I'll stop moving. Like below there, but I can't hit it. It's all right. We'll go with it. I want you to get something here, and that is Jesus was speaking in a day where a lot of the things that he spoke, it was different in that the way that we understand it is different. The way they understood it is different. And in ancient times, why is this? Come on now. Sorry, y'all. You just got to go with me. If I touch this, there we go. Well, why don't you come up and do it? All right, there we go. Y'all, I got to stop trying so hard. There we go. See, there, that's right. In ancient times, I want you to get that people believed that the eye literally provided light. Now, we know in our modern day that the eye is not light, right? that the eye isn't being illuminated by something from inside. In fact, if you cut yourself open, there is no light. The only light that's going to come in is if you somehow expose the inner parts of your body to light. Are we there? But in this day and age, they felt like the light was light from inside. So what I want you to get here is that Jesus was speaking a couple of things here. He was speaking to science, okay? He was saying, hey, I know a little bit about your body, even more so than you, in the way that it's physically made up. So we've got to understand that people here were kind of getting two different truths at the same time. He was saying, look, let me break it to you. The light isn't coming from the inside. Why is this significant? Ladies, gentlemen, I want you to get this. There's something really key here. He was telling them that every bit of your physical speaks to your spiritual. In fact, Jesus did that a lot. In fact, much of what we realize in our humanness, if we would relate it to our spiritualness, we would get it. Talking about hunger and thirst, talking about hands and feet. I mean, if we would just think, Jesus made it pretty simple for us. And what he was saying here is that there's no way light can come from the innermost parts of your body. And what I want you to understand today, and each and every one of you, if you'll hone into this, there is no way, no matter how hard you try, that light, and I'm not talking about this kind of light, I'm talking about righteousness, holiness, the goodness of God, there is no way that you can produce it from inside of you. There just isn't. Some of you try. You believe that through your good works, you believe that through your service, you believe that, and you hope that that isn't true, so that something you do will make it so that you hold on to the light of Jesus Christ. But what Jesus was saying is that there's no way that light can be produced from inside of you. And today, we get it a lot better than they did. We understand that there is no light bulb inside that's sending light to. We also know that spiritually, come on, church, if you don't receive it in, it is not in you. There are many of you sitting here today where it's not in you the way that he desires it to be in you. You're just not feeling it right now. You're not connected to it right now. Here's what's fascinating about the reports that we're getting from the Christians in Afghanistan. Guess what they're not doing? They're not leaving their faith. Why are we praying for them? Because those that believe, believe. And they're holding on to that belief. I wonder today if the same thing came upon us, how many of us would say, well, just like Peter, not today. And so we know today that someone else, and this is such a simple concept, if I decided right now to walk over, you're going to say, it's so basic, Pastor, and turn off the lights. I have control of that. These lights don't have control of themselves. And see, if we would just let ourselves be maintained, sustained, loved, embraced by the Lord, he would provide the light that we need. But the bottom line is the light is turned on by an outside source. It is not turned on by you. You accept, you receive, and then you submit. And then you sing the songs like I Surrender All. Because we know that unless we surrender, we will not have all that he desires for us. And so we have to know here, Jesus was saying, someone else maintains the lamp. All right, so let's review a couple of things. Did you all know this about your eyes? Now, some of you will say, well, you know, there's some people where their eyes can see, and I get that, but let's just look at the overall picture, okay? Most eyes can look in one direction, right? We have peripheral vision, like I see all of you. I see when you're not paying attention, when you're sleeping, all of that. Like I have a way. I scan for a reason, not just to keep you engaged, but to write notes and say to the Lord tomorrow, well, you know who slept yesterday, right? You know who was reading something else. I know you can see all things, but I want to remind you today. I don't do that. But anyway, I want you to think here for a second. You can only really look in one direction. Now you say that just what may, if God wanted to, you know what he could do? He could make us look in different directions if he felt like that was important. But instead, what did he do? He created our physical to speak to our spiritual. And he desires us to look to him and to him only. So he made it so we focused on And he gave us two so we'd have a little bit of extra space so we could see some peripheral, you know, people trying to jump you, you can see behind you and know they're coming at you, right? See, y'all weren't raised in the same place I was. Okay, so my dad taught us you always look around. The eye that is healthy. In fact, my church, it was not, and this is not a joke, there were Sundays where, like, we just asked whose car was going to be broken into today. And hey, it came around to our van and then our station wagon. It was just how it was, but it didn't stop us. The eye that is healthy is actually illuminated by a heart that is pure and receiving from the Lord. Outside source, one purpose, one mind. Our eyes are focused in one direction. The Lord is calling us to focus in one direction, and that is to focus in on Him. Just setting up some facts here before we really get into it. The definition of a healthy eye. See, he was talking about healthy eyes. It's a person living an internal existence which illuminates a single purpose. And what Jesus was asking here was, is it illuminating my kingdom? If you look to me, it will illuminate my kingdom. It also says lacking disease. Now, many of you know what it's like to have to wear glasses, to have to get cataract surgery, all of that. It's best when your eyes are what? Is it 20/20? I've never had it. I went to school and they said I was stupid, and finally one of the teachers said, maybe he's not stupid and maybe we should get him checked. And we got checked and I got glasses, and come to find out I was just semi-stupid. You know what I mean? It's like partially stupid. Because then I never got math, so that didn't seem to fix that. But anyway, lacking disease, we all, what, desire to put it on and make and see how we should, how God intended. And Jesus was saying that as you fix your eyes on me, you will lack. You will not have disease in your heart. See, the eyes are an avenue to the heart, or vice versa. A couple of things that I want to just clear up real quick before we get started. The heart will dictate where you set your eyes, focus, and vision. Come on now, think about this. It kind of relates, if you're listening, these last couple of weeks are all building on one another. Church, maybe not you today, and I know first service is a different service, but let me tell you that our young people, let me tell you that people in general, their eyes are focused all over. The porn industry, let's just be real. Eyes are focused on it. It is everywhere. It's more accessible than ever, any time before. Before, you had to have a magazine. Now all you need is a cell phone. In fact, you can restrict the cell phone and still find ways through ads, right? Because now ads, to me, a lot of the ads that are on the television or on other places, if it was 20 years ago when I was a kid, my mom would say, what? Turn that off. It's inappropriate. Now we see the JCPenney ads and all these ads, and we just target ads, and the thing you pull up is things that we shouldn't see. But see, if our heart is fixed on Jesus, those things come, but they're not received. Unfortunately, in the society we live in fact, we were driving, was it yesterday or on the way? We were driving yesterday, and I noticed that it was a big billboard with a woman on it, and it was for something I shouldn't even say, Lion's Den or something. And Janae said, because she's old enough, and she said, that lady isn't dressed appropriately. That was her statement. And then I waited for her mother, since I have all girls, I can shift a lot of things in another direction. And I waited for her mother to respond. About 30 seconds later, I started to sweat, and I said, well, this is going to be mine. And finally, she spoke up. I don't know what she was doing. I said, honey, you know we had girls for a reason. I don't have to do all that. So anyway, she did, and then she began to talk about how we respect our bodies, and then it led into more, and it led into conversation. And that our desire is that she would honor her body as God honors it and respectfully use it. We don't know the journey that that woman has been on. But honey, you're blessed because you're on a journey where we're teaching you to honor and respect what God has given you. But let me tell you, eyes are fixated in places where God never intended them to be, and it is everywhere. The lamp is turned on by the owner. Jesus is saying, let me be the owner. But let me tell you that the eye can go a lot of places. And you say, well, what do you mean? I promise you that ads, that television shows, there is intent behind them. Let's just be real. There's intent behind today. My intent every week is that you'll come to the altar. It doesn't happen, but that's up to the Lord. My intent every week is that somehow God would use me to speak to your spiritual existence and that you would be different and that every week you'd be drawn into righteousness. That's my hope for you. I don't come here with no hope or no future for you. Ads aren't presented without an intent behind them. Shows aren't presented without an intent behind them. Everything you receive has already delved through the intention so that when it gets to your eyes, the goal is that much closer, whether it be to purchase, whether it be to watch, whether it be to please, whatever it be. And there's intentions behind what God has for you. The heart allows what we see, fixate on, and then finally take in. And the Lord is good in that there are things that he wants us to take in. There's things the enemy wants us to take in. And then there's some things that just don't matter. The other thing here that he's talking about when he relates the whole body, and he talks about your whole body, there's imagination. See, here's what happens. A lot of advertising, they do what? They present something, and then they leave it to your imagination. Or they do everything not to leave it to your imagination so that you really get it. Imagination's a strong thing. My imagination is so big. And sometimes, oh, she said, oh my, it is. I just, you know, something comes and it's just bigger than what it should be. And I just imagine things that aren't there. Even with the church, like I say, God, just tell me and we'll go for it, right? If you believe that God's imagination and creativity is big, then he's got big things. But our imagination sometimes brings about a reality that's not accurate. And God, through Jesus, was saying, I need you to understand. Keep the imagination wrapped around Jesus. Keep your whole existence, your whole mind, your whole heart, all that you have fixated on me. All right. The heart will dictate where you set your eyes, focus, and vision. Because guess what, church? Your eyes are going to see things, and then your heart's going to have to deal with them. Eyes present, they equip, they channel. They also represent our oneness with Christ. See, what if we had to just let that go by and Janae said what she said, and we moved on and missed a training opportunity? How many training opportunities in this church are just passing us? Because we don't want to address what we see. See, what we've got to realize is that it's deeper than the eyes. In fact, Jesus was basically saying, all this is a circular, it's just looking in and looking out. It's the avenue too. But here's the thing. If you decide to not fix your eyes on Jesus, the enemy's going to equip you. He's going to help you. He's going to channel you. And guess what? He's going to use your vision. And you know what your vision does? It introduces things to your senses. And then do you know what your senses do? They start to speak to your heart, to your body, to your makeup. You say, Pastor, we don't like this. I don't either. But the world is taking our children and our youth and our young people by storm because of the eyes. And maybe it's not you, but my goodness, you've got a word to give to someone else. If you were to look at my email, I don't even tell Ashley this, but I see stuff, and then the next day, I find and Google and say, I'm going to email that. That's not appropriate. That was on a kid's show. Why in the world that? And I make sure, and if it's all I can do, it's what I can do. But oftentimes, I'm emailing and sending notes to CEOs and stuff about stuff that I see, that I know they see, that they shouldn't see, that I can't help them seeing. So I know I stress this, but I want you to understand this. The lamp is turned on by the owner. So whoever owns your heart, okay, dictates to your eye. Whoever owns your heart turns the light on to, and let's take it deeper. Let's take it deeper in the groups that we're together with, the things that are done in those groups. And guess what? Sometimes the eye is dictated to. Sometimes we can't help what we see, but we can help what it says to our heart. So another question for you today is, who is the owner of your heart? Because that's going to tell us where your eyes are headed. The heart allows us to see, fixate on what we see, and then finally intake what we see. I think in this day, we are given so many, think about it, so many things coming into our hearts, into our minds, and it's through our eyes. But see, we get the decision of what forms in our hearts and our minds. Here's the thing. What you take in creates an image. I thought about this as I was studying. You know, I could throw out a lot of things. I could just say things, and guess what's going to happen? Y'all are going to have an image that comes to your mind, and it's going to come from not because I'm presenting it. Like if I say a hamburger, y'all aren't going to think of the same hamburger, right? Some of you are going to think about Five Guys. Some of you are going to think about McDonald's. Some of you are going to think about the ones your wife makes at home because they're the best, right? But see, here's the thing. The enemy's constantly presenting us images so that when those things come to our mind or when those things come to our heart, he has a way to, and we didn't even realize it was there. And then we fixate on it. I mean, we have to say these things out loud. But you know what pornography does? It creates a false picture of reality. Every person that I meet with that tells me, hey, and I meet with people that deal with pornography. Some of you should be too, because you've got loved ones that would love to come to you and say, would you not convict me and walk with me through this? But I say, what you're creating in your young life, some not young, is going to dictate, but it's not reality. Our sex life is not what you're describing to me. It's just not. It's not reality. But it's making it that way. You know why? Because the enemy wants to go after the marriage. So when they do get married and they have these visions in their mind of what it should be, they realize that's not and that's all staged. But now it's staged in their mind as reality. How do you get away from that reality? A lot of work. A lot of work. All right, so let's talk about the problem with light. It really can only and ever begin from the outside. And it goes all the way back to what we believe is original sin. So there's darkness in our heart that has to be cleansed. Our bodies are created that way. There's no light inside that's going to all of a sudden just spur forth. Except that God created us to be in relationship with him. Except that he's going to come after us day in and day out. Except that we believe as Nazarenes that there's prevenient grace and that the light is actively going after you, me. But the problem is it can only ever begin from the outside. So if you don't know him, if you don't hold on to him, if you don't look to him, it ain't going to just... You might have an image, a thought, an experience that's spiritual that you draw from. But you know, you can only draw from that so long until that image becomes fainter and fainter and fainter. Jesus is saying that the light within us is darkness and has to be rectified by the light that's outside of us. What happens if you turned a lamp on today and left it on? It's eventually going to wear out, right? Ask Pastor Gary. He runs around here every week and changes light bulbs and all of that. And you do that in your own home. Jesus is saying it has to be maintained by something else. Someone else, meaning he has to come in and maintain that. Constantly rectifying the images that are coming in through the mind. How great then, when you think about this definition, is the light within you? Is it the overwhelming force in your life? Or is it something else? Think about this. Light does what? It creates images, impressions. It speaks to our hearts. It speaks to what we allow develop within us. And then the intentions behind what we allow in become reality. You all like Jackie Chan? He said this in one of his movies. Your focus needs more. Y'all don't. Okay, so your focus needs more focus. Think about it. This is actually what Jesus was saying to us. You think you're focused, but why don't you get more focused? And once you think you're focused, we need you to get more focused. See, Jesus is saying that every time you think that, think more and go to me. See, what happens is as our eyes drift, it means our heart has already drifted. See, we don't like that statement either. What Jesus is saying is if your eyes have already drifted and your heart is directing your eyes, then it's already. A lot of problems with light. Every time we allow a new image to come into our mind that speaks to one of our senses that is desirable, we file that in our mind, not even realizing it. And this I got from a study. We don't even realize it. And then we want more of it. A couple of scriptures just to throw out there before I give you my closing thought. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will. If you go into Luke, you'll also see it written a little bit differently, the light in you. This is Jesus speaking as well. No one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Jesus is saying here, I actually need you to be my lamp. I actually need you to be my lamp so that people can see that image, hold on to it, but then know where to go. So last thought, eyes that are single-minded reflect a heart that is single-minded. So we go back to a divided mind. We go back to a divided anything. Does it work? Does it work? Divided marriage. Divided city council, divided. Does division work? See, when we're single-minded and our hearts are fixated on the Lord, and that's what we see, then our light is worth seeing from others. But church, I'm just going to be real today. We have to be light. And some of you, if you were just to say, I don't care about who's around me, you'd admit that you're not fully illuminated by the light of the Lord today. If it were so, things would be different. John Wesley said, the eye is the lamp of the body, and what the eye is to the body, the intention is to the soul. All right, so let's dim the lights. Is that okay? We don't like this message. Because guess what? This message is what's hitting our society. If it's not hitting you, it's hitting your grandkids. If it's not hitting your grandkids, it's hitting your neighbor's kids. If it's not hitting, it's hitting the foster kids. It's out there. It's significantly holding on to people. And that is this divided idea of light. Jesus was saying, I am the light. And the only way you can have me is if you look to me from the outside and receive me into the inside. So the first question, and this is a simple one, do you really know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? That starts the process of light coming in. And so maybe you've not even gotten to that step. But as I look out there, and knowing most of you, you've taken that step, but there's still darkness somewhere. And the darkness is coming from somewhere. And unfortunately, more often than not, our questions, our doubts, our temptations, they come from what we see. You say, and this is something I thought of this week, because I was studying this and I actually read something by a theologian and it was kind of a joke. And people will say, well, you know, it's not my eye. You know, it's people that come up to me and we start sharing and I just get back into my negative pattern. You know what your eye saw? That negative person coming. You know what your feet could have done? Get out of the way. Come on now. And then he went on a whole dialogue and I was fascinated by it, that your eye gets to see first. Unless you're caught off guard, which is not all the time, and actually very rare. Because you know what? You decide to turn on that television show that's wrapped around this thought, so don't expect the commercials to be a different thought. I mean, I could just spend the whole day doing that, right? And so maybe if not for you, you got grandkids, sons, daughters that you know are seeing things and letting those things come into their hearts that then darken the light from the lamp holder. Y'all know who the lamp holder is? Jesus. And Jesus and darkness just don't. Because when he comes in, he wants to rid us. And so what he said here was that if your heart's not healthy, your eye's not healthy, then you aren't healthy. And then don't go out today saying, well, can't believe I'm not healthy. Because there is a remedy, Abby. There is a remedy. And that is to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. And you know what? When the grandson or the granddaughter or the neighbor or the son or the daughter or the friend or you, when it's time to say, you know what? This has got my eye. This caught my eye. Say, you know what? Let's walk together so that Jesus will catch your eye. So I don't know. The altars are open. I'm going to ask right now if you would just take time to reflect. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. Personally reflect where you are. Or come to the altar and say, God, it's time for me to take that out of my heart. So my eye stops the pattern.
Every lie and every doubt, this is my surrender.